Welcome back to the second hour of the Paranormal 360. My guest tonight is Seth Stewart, Broadway performer turned spiritual guide, and we're diving even deeper into his remarkable transformation. His upcoming memoir, Follow Your Vision, Live Your Truth, hits shelves August 8th, and it's a powerful look at purpose, healing, and what it really means to awaken. So let's get back to it. Seth Stewart, our guest. Seth, when you had this awakening for yourself and you went outside beyond who you are to realize the connection to everything around us, how profoundly was that attaching to you, and how quickly? Was it something that you were still kind of fighting and questioning for quite a while, or was it all enveloping and it just became who you are?
I couldn't deny the call anymore, right? And I too have been, my first ayahuasca journey was in 2013. It was just one night. And, but I have been to Peru, four different times, and deep in the jungle with the shamans. And so I've died, my ego has died, and I've actually almost physically died. So I do also talk to people about, you know, integrating what they've experienced from certain psychedelics. I don't do psychedelics anymore. I haven't for 4 or 5 years. And I only did them in ceremony, but it's very much like a call. My calling was so loud, Dave, just like, you know, like you get called to certain psychedelics. You get called to do the work that you do. It was so loud that I couldn't deny it anymore. The only thing that was actually difficult for my ego or anything is when I maybe shared something earlier on in my journey with my friends or my family, or even not so much my friends and my family, but through social media or through the public, because I realized they had my identity in a box, but I'm an explorer. I'm a seeker and I'm an explorer and I'm an artist. So my job as a seeker and explorer is to do that. And my job as an artist is to bring you what you don't know is out there, or disrupt what you feel, or create feelings for you and tell stories that you're never going to experience because you may not be an explorer, et cetera, et cetera. So the awakening process for me was great because my calling was so loud. But two, I believe that awakening can happen in processes. Like there's sequence locks, there's phase locks that happen to where the next version of yourself opens. And then the next awakening happening is maybe 2 years later. And then maybe 3 days later, you have this massive awakening. And so I believe, at least for myself personally, they were phase locks. Otherwise, some of the information would have been too intense for my being to integrate it all.
When you had these awakenings and realized the connectedness, were you taken beyond our planet or taken beyond the beings that are known here? Did you see what we would consider to be alien beings or interdimensional, multidimensionals?
1,000%. And this is why I wrote my book for myself, Dave. Like, I just wrote it because I needed to do it. And then, you know, I prayed on it and then I was, you know, told to share. And so the biggest thing I will say, and this ties into awakening, is really, I had the benefit of being on the earth, like in nature, the majority of time through my major awakenings. And so I always had the groundedness of Earth Mother and the trees and the dirt and the sand and, you know, just the rocks. I would go lay on a rock to really ground some crazy interdimensional experience. But through different psychedelics that I had done in ceremony, sweat lodges I had done in ceremony, yeah, my first experience was hearing Earth Mother in a sweat lodge. And I explained that in my book. And that is where my, you know, clairaudience really started to open up. And anywhere I started to travel, I could hear Earth Mother when she was specifically calling me. She shows her face in many different faces, right? Indigenous women. She shows that she's coming to me. Now, interdimensional, yeah, I've had a lot of past life remembrances. I don't believe past lives are necessarily in the past. It's just an experience we had that's kind of coexisting at the same time. But I remember being a galactic warrior. And so, yeah, I remember spaceships. I remember that. And I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, whether you believe me or not is fine. But there's enough of us out there that are having these remembrances. And so, yes, a lot of times, you know, one time I ended up on Sirius B. And the experience I had there brought in such a remembrance that it helped me remember why I was here now. I remember Lemuria. I remember getting taken over by negative extraterrestrial groups. Why? Because they invaded our planet and they wanted the women and they wanted the resources. And the same thing happened in Egypt. I remember ancient Egypt and why the pyramids were built, right? It was a blue beam. There was a blue beam coming out of the main pyramid, and it was for transformation, and it was for interdimensional travel, like you name it. And what happened is, we got invaded. We got blasted by a red beam that went through the blue beam, through the pyramid, into the core of the earth, and it blew up the crystal generator that was under there that allowed us to travel interdimensionally. Now, again, a lot of what I'm saying is you may not be able to see or believe, but there's so much that are on the pyramids, hieroglyphs, go down to South America. The proof is in the stone, and the proof is in the scientists and the people that dedicate their lives to kind of prove, again, that which we already know spiritually. And so I've had these past life remembrances, galactic life remembrances of why this has been a galactic war on this planet for millions and millions of years. Now, the other thing is, sometimes I've spoken about ending up on ships, astrally ending up on a ship. And one of my greatest experiences of being up there, like astrally, spiritually, mm-hmm. is seeing beings that they didn't know why I was there. I didn't know why I was there, but their commander came out and I said, "What are you doing on our planet?" And he said, "We're clearing the nanotechnology, or we're clearing the atmosphere from things that are in your atmosphere. Like, we're commissioned to help Earth from all these things that are floating around, this sort of nanotechnology that we can't even see under a microscope." And I said, "Well, thank you for helping our planet." And then we realized the beings that were on the planet, they needed to see a human and see the species that they were helping. And I, as a human, needed to see who was helping us to realize that there are extraterrestrials that are here to feed off of us and take our resources. And there are other extraterrestrials, you could call them angels if you want to, that are here to actually help the planet, because they're trying to help free the planet. So I've had a lot of experiences with friends where I've had five people next to me and we've all seen the spaceship. So, and there's too many accounts. How many accounts are there, Dave? Like hundreds of thousands of accounts, UFOs experiences?
Well, it's interesting too, right? In the last segment, we talked about the religious element and belief. And I said, you know, the God of the Old Bible and the God of the New Testament are two different things. Why? Because it took coming down to see what it was about, to see the people, to interact, which is what you experienced aboard that ship as well, right? That these beings had to see us, had to interact with a human to really appreciate what they were doing and who they were helping. That's correct. I think that's really powerful. Now, I know you started by saying you don't care if people believe you so much, but you do understand the skeptical nature of people, that they hear these things, and everything you just said sounds like, I think Seth is still on an ayahuasca journey for this episode, right? So there's still that question of, I want to believe, I want to go out, but then it gets so outlandish sounding. It gets so big. It gets so bold. And it's funny where we draw those lines. You know, when I started my journey 19 years ago doing radio and talking about this, I could openly talk about ghosts, Bigfoot, UFOs. Somebody would bring the concept of fairies to me and I would laugh and roll my eyes. And they'd say, "Why is that the place you draw the line? Dave, you'll believe in these other elements. You'll believe in telepathy. You believe in the fact that there's prophecy and you can believe in a God, but you have a trouble believing in earth energies and earth elementals that have been here and have been talked about through the centuries by every different religion." We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got more with Seth Stewart right after this. Strange questions, big concepts. And when people are looking at this, it's a drink out of a fire hose, right, Seth? It's not a simple sip of tea to go, "Oh yes, why, this is quite enlightening." You kind of have to put it all out there for people to say, "Wow, this sounds so absurd, so insane, it can't possibly be true." But do you fear that that pushes people away from even being open to the experience, because it sounds like we're lunatics discussing these type of things?
Well, it took me probably about four or five years to let go of that fear, right? And mm-hmm. the reason I don't dress in anything necessarily woo-woo, or I look like I do, like, hey, listen, I wear my hats, I wear, you know, I am who I am. So I'm not here to prove anything to anybody. But when I've had experiences with other people and we're all experiencing the same thing, I don't need to prove anything to anybody anymore, right? Here's the other thing. I know what separates me is that I'm actually, I know this is part of my purpose. It's not to prove that there's UFOs or that there's earth beings or for you to believe in anything. It's just the more the people hear, the more they might open up to experiences that they actually shut off. Right. I'm not here to preach to the choir that already believe in this. And I'm not here to preach to anybody. But what I'm saying is that having these interdimensional earth experiences and extraterrestrial experiences are actually part of human culture since the beginning of our time. It's just been wiped away from our history, but it hasn't been wiped away from the stones and what has been buried that's in sarcophaguses. It's actually here. And so what I feel like part of what I'm here to do is to say, is for those people that probably had an experience, but they used their skepticism to push it away, as opposed to using discernment. I think skepticism is the far end of discernment where you just kind of go into cognitive dissonance. And I'm just here to say, hey, people, use your discernment. Whether you believe me or anybody else is totally up to you. But I teach discernment because I believe as we move forward in time, a lot more people are going to be having these experiences and they're not necessarily going to know what to do. And discerning the energies without being right in fear will be your first best step. Like the first way to navigate, there was something that happened in that mall in Miami last year and people were freaking out, right? There mm-hmm. are ways to begin to discern the energy. There's ways to shield yourself from the energy and just kind of, this is life. This is an amazing experiment and experience. And so it's like, let's just be open-minded to things that have and experiences that have always been here since the beginning of time, before humans.
And I'd like to address one other thing. For those of you that are on that fence post, you're afraid, oh my God, people are going to think I'm nuts. That's why people like Seth put together a book, Follow Your Vision, Live Your Truth. It's a book that you can order all on your own and read in the privacy of your own home or read it in your car, read it at work on your breaks. When you commit to learning something like this, it doesn't mean Seth's going to show up on your front lawn in a muumuu, shaking rattles and holding on to vipers to teach you so that the whole world sees this. He's giving you something to look at, to expand and give you a new way to perceive things. And listen, maybe Seth's way is not your way, but there may be enough elements in there that it opens up doorways to other things that you can continue to educate yourself with. Everything we do is open to our own perceptions. The stories and experiences that Seth is sharing, he can only share from his viewpoint and his visions of what he has understood it to be. It's like mediums, right, Seth? Mediums that say, hey, Seth, I have an older woman here. I'm picking up. She's like a mother to you. So she's on your right side. She's a mother energy. And she's showing me a batch of cookies. To me, the medium, a batch of cookies meant, you know, oh, this is love, because whenever I went to visit grandma, she made cookies for me special, right? Some see a red rose, meaning it's love. It's up to the perception of the person who's trying to relay the information on. You can take those bits of information and make sense of them how you want, right? I mean, that's essentially what people have been doing for centuries with the Bible, and every writing is interpreting it. But you can't pigeonhole. You can't put things in one little box and say, this is the only way it is. There are so many different elements to that story to read and learn from.
Absolutely. I mean, just for your audience or anybody, I believe in God, right? I believe in the great mystery. Again, what is in my heart is actually Christ consciousness, because in all my exploration, I love Buddha too, right? But like what I work to embody is Christ consciousness and a balanced, what's called hierogamic union, a balanced energies of divine masculine and divine feminine within me. My other great teacher is the earth. So any other things in between are just kind of like things I'm passing by, just like you would pass a stranger and might learn something, or they're teachers along the way. But ultimately, I my main source is God and the earth. And that's what I'm here to do when I help men too. And what I share in the book is like, your biggest teachers are earth, God, and your higher self will start to integrate both of them. And we get to have such an amazing experience. And so again, kind of going back to religion, whatever people need to get them on a spiritual path is great. Mm-hmm. But when you start to question, this doesn't make sense, or there's more, that means you're a seeker. And that means you need to do some deeper research for your truth. Folks,
I'm going to tell you something. Listen, there are great keepers of the truth that exist on this planet right now who are uncovering parts of our history and mysteries that they are doing their very best to try to bring back to the consciousness. And something that people should realize, when you talk about the belief in God and Mother Earth, the truth is a lot of the original documents and papers do not refer to God as a single entity, as a male force. God is a he-she force. And don't start right, oh, you're being woke now. No, I'm not. I'm woke to reality. I'm woke to the fact that this is what it has always told us, but we are a patriarchal society and we choose to have the male lead the dominance. Mother Earth, well, that's sweet. Okay, go ahead and believe in Mother Earth, because that's not a thing. Neither is God, right? I mean, it's nothing tangible you can look at and see. Why is it any different? So the fact that these are the yin and yang of one another, but they're one complete unit, is something that's been a part of every religious tradition going back. It's just the fact that you have to see it again, and you have to discern those bits. When we talk about God, God does not have to be a he or a she. God is one, and we are all part of God. God, we are created in God's image. So what does that mean woman is, if they're not created in God's image? And God is one of all. And I think that's fascinating. There are, and after the show, Seth, I'm going to connect you with a very dear friend of mine who I think you'll enjoy speaking about this with, and he can even take this a little deeper. We're planning on doing a show later this year about that subject, but it's going to blow a lot of minds when people start to realize that this is the truth that's been hidden in plain sight all this time.
I love it. And I love how you explain that, right? Like, people are used to talking to Father God. I believe, again, there's that oneness and the great mystery, because there's so much we will never understand. And that's kind of the beauty, is like, you're not in control. You'll never understand. What I do believe is going to come back, that maybe some religions have taken out because we're a patriarchal society, is the divine feminine. So I believe that the father energy that people speak to is a father energy, but I feel like it had that Holy Trinity split, was actually the Holy Father, the Holy Mother, and the Holy Child, right? And it's not just the Holy Spirit. We've left out the divine feminine energies from religion, but even if you looked at Last Supper, Mary Magdalene was right next to him. She was at the table. And the divine feminine this is an opportunity right now in this time, again, from my research, the divine feminine has to come back to the table, has to co-lead in governments, has to co-lead in spiritual institutions, and even in ceremonies. The minute we forgot the divine is the minute that the divine feminine is the minute we came out of balance on this planet and within our governments. So she's coming, and we need to give her a seat at the table.
Amen. We'll be back with more of the Paranormal 360 right after this. I know what you're thinking, folks. I know many of you are sitting there scratching your head going, I didn't tune in to hear a religious ceremony, Dave. I didn't tune in for this. I didn't tune in for that. No, you tuned in because you're a seeker, because you're a believer that there is more to the world around us than the things that we can just see and perceive on a daily basis. Sometimes it's going to make you uncomfortable. Just like it's uncomfortable to that time when you were a kid and went into the store and saw your teacher, not in school, but shopping in the halls of the same grocery store you shopped in. And there's that time you realize your parents had sex. It happens. They're all uncomfortable bits of information that we have to collect to realize how we got where we are in life, and that our world is much bigger than the bubble we live within. So don't be so quick to turn the dial. Don't be so quick to change your parameters on what it is that you're exploring, because these are the little keys that are part of a much bigger safe that we need to crack together. And it is by people like Seth Stewart coming forward and all of the great guests that we have on this program that bring a different key, a different element to a bigger global consciousness, that once we all start seeing this, the tumblers are going to fall in place, and you're going to be really amazed at what opens when that safe is finally cracked. And that's what we're here to do. Crack these safes one number at a time, every week, sharing these stories. Seth has got a brand new book that's coming out August 8th. It is called Follow Your Vision, Live Your Truth. We have a link for it on today's program guide. And it's going by fast. We only have two segments left together, Seth. What are some of the other things you'd like to share with that maybe people forget to ask you about, or you think, you know, this is a really important element that struck me, I think I need to talk about now?
That's a really good question. I love this whole interview, by the way. So just thank you. One of the biggest things that I know for a fact, right? I'm also a seer. Like, I can clairvoyant, clairaudient, and I say this out of no ego. But it has put me into mediumship heavy again, which I realized was always a skill, but this is the biggest thing that I can see for humanity. This will be important for everybody, whether you believe anything else or not. We have an energetic baseline that we live upon. That's why I always tell people to go back to the earth, because her resonance, especially if you go barefoot with the ground, will bring you back into alignment. Well, there are two major things happening on this planet right now. There is an organic ascension upgrade. And what that really means is that we're going to get these gifts of telepathy, of telekinesis, right? You should be able to talk to your daughter or your cousin from anywhere in the world and have an understanding of what they're thinking. You should be able to understand what your partner or your dog is feeling, that telepathic communication. They're doing research on telepathy tapes, not to plug somebody else, but the research is already there. Telekinesis, moving energy, healing ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Not needing pharmaceuticals, not, you know, some are needed for certain people, but
obviously, right.
Not needing outside things, maybe besides herbs and diet, to heal ourselves and even heal others around us. Putting intention into the water, into the natural environments, to help the planet heal with singing songs or our words or our intention when we just walk through the woods. These are all gifts that we have. And this is part of the original upgraded timeline that is happening here on this planet Earth. There's another inverted timeline happening that is coming through AI. AI is neutral. AI is not all bad. It's very, very old, but it's actually plugging into people. They're being on social media too long is plugging into this false matrix. Now, what happens with this baseline is happening right now. As we were here, and what has just shifted, Dave, that has been the wildest thing for me, is we went from this sort of baseline and it shifted like this. So what that really means,
which is pretty dramatic. That's like over a 90% change.
Yeah, it's like two lines and one line dropped down here and one line dropped up. Now, what that really means is that I look at it like energy. Sorry, I move around when I get excited.
That's good.
The baseline is important because it lets us have our feet on the ground, right? It lets us know where we are. But if you get too lost in AI, the energy of it is a pulling down. It's a spiral down. It's a siphoning. It's an inversion. The energy of the organic, staying close to nature, praying, whatever your beliefs are, just being nice to others, non-judgmental, is a spiral up. Pretty soon that this baseline has already shifted, it's going to shift so much that whatever you choose, you will not have energetic access or consciousness access to the other. Now, between these two worlds, the organic and the inversion, there's a bridge happening right now, an energetic bridge. And again, eventually one's inverted and one's, and eventually that bridge is no longer going to exist. So what I really share to people, this is an opportunity for you individually or to get your family in the woods. Just play, right? Fairies and dragons and all these things, they remind us to play. The other side, if you stay into it long, it's going to spiral and you won't even have consciousness understanding. One day people are going to wake up and they're going to have a guttural drop in their stomach. Like, something is wrong. I don't know what it's wrong. Well, what it means is that original baseline is no longer there. And the less you are not in nature, and the less you are not loving yourself, and the less you are not loving everybody around you, the more you're going to miss that opportunity to be in the organic ascension. So that's what I really want people. That is my biggest message to everybody right now, regardless of what you believe. Stay true to yourself. Follow your heart. Believe in whatever it is you believe in, that you feel like is helping you as your soul and your spirit as a human. And really be around other people that are elevating themselves financially, spiritually, you name it. As long as there's elevation, you can be in the organic ascension timeline.
Right. And it's drafting, right? That's when you start following the person that's cutting the path in front of you, it makes your journey a lot easier. And you learn from that. You start taking from that and learning and building your own. So you're drafting for the people behind you. It becomes an amazing opportunity. I love the messages of this book. I love the messages that you're bringing forward to people so that they can feel like they're part of something bigger and that they can be part of the change, not just the problem. And if you find yourself constantly in the state of mind of, well, this is wrong and that's wrong and this is wrong, then I challenge you to then say, okay, here's how we can fix it. So that you're not just part of a problem, but you're part of a bigger light. You're elevating your own vibration so that you're not stuck in the mire, right? You're not a Trehu and his horse stuck in the bog. It's a little throwback for those kids that love the Neverending Story. But instead, you've started to find your way out. You limit yourself when you just talk about all the things that are wrong. But when you talk about what's wrong and then enlighten yourself, as you saw and heard the energy in Seth, as he got more excited, he had to move. There's combustion to it. And when you start looking beyond the problem and seeing that there's ways to fix it, as absurd as some of them may be, you have to make those first steps in order to get going.
Yeah. Right. And Dave, you know, I believe the Bible is still being written. I don't know who's physically writing it, but I don't think the Bible's done. I don't think it ended. I don't think any of these texts that have been written before, they're not done. We're still writing the story. We're still characters. The story arc is still happening currently. Mm-hmm. And we have an opportunity to be in a timeline because there is so much angelic help. What we are seeing on the planet right now is a collapse of the old world. And the biggest thing I pray when I ask God, what do you need from me? Is one is to speak, but two is to stay focused on the kingdom or queendom of heaven within my heart. So even everything though is burning around me, it's very much like the Bodhisattva as well. Even though everything is burning around you, if you focus on the light, if you focus on the higher timeline, it has to come. We're going to see the world burn heavily for the next 5 to 7 years. But at the same time, again, I'm bringing this back to nature. Let's talk from a nature standpoint. If you've ever seen an old plant die, like an old aloe plant or a yucca plant, there's always new growth coming in from beneath.
Right. Like the ashes of the phoenix. When it burns, something new can grow from it. We'll take our final break. We'll be back with more Paranormal 360 right after this. Many of you are fascinated by things like tarot. And the one thing you don't want to see is that death card, right? Because your preconceived notion is that means you're doomed. When in fact, the death card is telling you that something in your life is about to come to an end. Doesn't mean that you're physically going to die. But from that death, something else comes forward, right? We've all learned, how many times have all of us been burned by a choice or a decision? The wrong person that we chose because in the moment they fulfilled something. Well, even at the end of that journey, as rough and bumpy and bloody as that ride might have been, you learn from that, and now you can take that forward so that you can take the next evolutionary step in your life if you choose to. You don't want to keep sticking yourself in the same muck and mire of the past mistakes. The point is that when those little green buds start to pop up through the earth again after the earth has been scorched, you have to let them breathe and grow on their own, not just keep tamping them down with your past issues and problems. Seth Stewart is here with us. Time is so short when we do this 2 hours of program over like that. We've got about 6-7 minutes left together, Seth. So I just can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming forward and doing this and being somebody that's been in the public eye, something that people are going to respect and love to hear from someone that's ridden all sides of this, you know, journey of life. They're not just privileged who said, well, this is it and this is how it's done, but that you've humbled yourself back down to starting from scratch to learn to rebuild and learn how we can do that. And it is within us. That's a really important lesson in life that I think many of us have to learn. It would be easy right now. My father just died to fold in on myself and let it collapse. But I know that's not what happened. My father's gone. That part of the world collapsed and the rubble is there. So now we have to sweep away that debris and let life live again, let things come forward. And it doesn't mean that I'm heartless or that I don't care. It means that I see that in order for my life and my father's life to continue and for that legacy to grow, I can't just add to the debris field. It needs to be cleared so that something new can come up. And that's how you'll grow. That's how you'll start to find new ways within you. And we are so much stronger than we give ourselves credit for, right? Seth, you go through these journeys and sometimes it's about breaking the glass ceiling, breaking the perceptions you thought were your limitations and realizing that now there's a whole new fresh breath of air that's just come into your lungs because you push past the comfort zone.
Absolutely. And condolences and blessings to you on the passing of your father. I lost my father about 2.5 years ago and, you know, went through a lot of anger with it, went through a lot of revelation. And the, one of the biggest things I've learned is like, well, you know, both of my parents were very supportive of me, but I'm the next best evolution of my father. So for people that have lost their family members, just remember you're the next best evolution of your parents. And even though it may not seem like it, we're clearing so much that they weren't able to clear, you know? Right. And so, you know, blessings to you. Cause I know what it's like to have to clean my father's house and move his stuff. And, but yeah, it's something that we can take the lessons that we've learned with us. And even in your 20 plus years, Dave, of like doing what you do, I'm in gratitude to be on your program because I know you've dedicated a major part of your life to helping people understand. It's been beyond yourself. And, you know, I'm still in helping kids in the performing arts and, you know, I'm helping men spiritually because I feel like I need to help men, really kind of step it up to, be a part of this major part of this healing journey. But ultimately we're here to help each other learn. We're here to tell stories to help each other grow. And that, so this wisdom experiences, right? Like wisdom comes from experiences. Dave's been out in the field. I've been out in the field for different reasons. We're here to tell these stories and share with you so that you can also be great storytellers. But when you go on your journey, on your seeking journey, or you have before, you have some cross comparison that you're not alone. We're not alone and you're not alone. And we believe in things that are beyond us and supernatural things. And it's so much fun. And it's because it's exploration. Otherwise, well, life would be Groundhog's Day.
How do we then call on these beings? Because I would think now we're at such a breaking point that we could really take leaps and bounds. And if there are these angels, these interdimensional beings, these spirits, why not come together and show us as one race? Eliminate the Russian, the German, the Ukrainian, the French, the Canadian, the American, and prove that we are all just one species and we are so much smaller on the scale of things than we see at this point. Why aren't these beings coming forward and just letting us know we do exist? This is real. And that, I think that would align people so much better to go forward because we would have a common understanding of just how insignificant our worries and concerns are. And that there's so much more that we can elevate ourselves to.
I'm so grateful for that question. One, we're already being viewed. Two, they're already here to help. They know that there's a certain percentage of humanity that's already happening, to answer your question. Mm-hmm. They have already contacted, you know, I call them the angelic forces. They're angels, they're extraterrestrials. They're from all over different dimensions. Again, whether people want to believe me or not, that's fine. It'll never be seen. It's never going to be on public. They're already contacting certain humans and certain groups to help with the shift of humanity because they can see the species as a whole wants to grow. The species as a whole is in a prison planet, right? The fact that we can barely afford rents and mortgages, but not just that, like, you know, our governments are the ones creating wars. It's not us. We want peace, right? So they already are in communion with certain people and certain teams, these angelic forces, to really help shift this planet. And so they know we're beyond it. They know we're beyond Russian, Christian, Muslim. They know that. And so it's already in progress with a lot of angelic teams. Now, to the only way that that happens is those people that are being contacted are pure in their heart. They're consistent with their spiritual work. They're consistent in asking, what can I do to help? So there has to be a certain amount of consistency. If you want to be a football player, you got to do a certain amount of consistency and show up and show up and show up and show up. That's how they get contacted by these angelic forces. So it's already happening. Two, I don't think anybody should call upon anybody but God. At least right now, because there's so much infiltration going on in the field. So I believe if you want to call upon anything, call upon the earth and pray to her and call upon God and pray to the great mystery. Because you don't know what you're doing, especially if you don't know what you're doing. Just God and earth.
I am the first to admit I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm sure having a fun time trying to learn it. And it's great having guides like you along the path. Seth Stewart, the book is Follow Your Vision, Live Your Truth, comes out August 8th. Go pre-order your copies now. We do have a link for the book on today's program guide. As always, it's a pleasure bringing you the information and great guests like this. The journey inward is the most daring one of all. And Seth Stewart's story reminds us that fame, success, and external accolades pale in comparison to the calling of the soul. That sometimes we must walk away from everything we know to become who we're truly meant to be. From the stage to the sacred, Seth's message is clear. Your life isn't just a performance, it's a purpose. And thank you for traveling with us tonight through vision, vulnerability, and the voice within. And I hope the darkness of this world is just a little bit brighter with the information that we share here. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is the Paranormal 360.